This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, we are sitting here recording this episode one day after Father's Day. Jason, how was your Father's Day?
It was pretty good. We obviously got some rain and stuff, so we spent some time inside, and then first Father's Day with a newborn, and then I was able to have my other two with me, and then her three were with their dad for most of the day, but we all got to be here together last night, so it was good.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. So kind of good vibes all day long?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's a sad deal, but Saturday we got up to do our regular things, and I had a couple jobs I had to do, and my kids were going to go with me to do them. They're just small jobs. Yeah. And when we got up to do, my kids got up to do the chores, you know, I don't know if you remember last year we'd bought a St. Bernard in August. So he has like a stall out in one of our big buildings, and that's where he stays because he's, I mean, the size of a horse, you know?
Yeah.
And they got him out, and he was just like really sluggish, slow walking. Mm-hmm. And then he got outside and he just kind of laid down, and that was it. And so that was it? Well, no, it wasn't it then, but like he would barely lift his head up. He wouldn't eat his food because we always feed him morning and night, and then he wouldn't drink any water and stuff. So then we ended up, my daughter says, well, let's see if we can, you know, walk him around a little bit. And then my wife comes out and like, we got to do something. So she's friends with a vet, local vet here. And, you know, he's like, you're going to have to take him to an animal hospital. You know, it sounds like he got into some poison.
Oh, no.
So then, long story short, we end up taking him to the local vet just to see if the vet would come out and take a peek at him. And she says right away, she's like, he looks bloated. It looks like his stomach flipped. So in large dogs, they have such a large chest that if they start jumping around and rolling around and this and that, just like in a horse or something, their stomach can actually flip. And then it cuts off circulation of the stomach and blood flow and everything. So we had the closest animal hospital that was actually open, takes us about an hour to get to. So by the time we got there, anywhere between 5 and 15 to 17 hours, this dog could have had his stomach flipped. So we had to put him down.
Oh my God, dude.
And you know, because they, you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's a money thing because it's not. Like if we knew he was going to survive it, that's one thing, but you know, that's like $3,200 to just cut him open and see where his stomach's at. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's flipped and half of it's dead, you know, your surgery options are limited at that point. Mm-hmm. If it's flipped and they can flip it back, they said he might have some complications. It may flip. They would actually tack it to the inside of his stomach wall so it wouldn't flip again. And I don't understand that process, mm-hmm. but that would be part of it. And then they would have to remove his spleen because they were going to do all sorts of blood tests. But the vet got very nervous when we were there. Like, you need to make a decision now. And, you know, we're sitting there with my two kids and then our newborn. And I'm like, they give us the estimate sheet of like $6,000 to do this. And you pay $3,200 up front and there's no guarantee that this dog's coming out. And I got to make that dad decision of like, okay, so I don't know if this dog's going to survive, but we could end up spending $3,200 to $6,000.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was how Saturday was. So it was pretty sad around here. By the time her kids got here on Sunday, they already knew about it. But by the time, because I brought him back home and I dug a hole for him and we buried him and stuff. But yeah, that was how the weekend started, I guess.
Yeah, dude, that sucks, man. Especially if it's a family dog and the kids, you know, grow fond of it. I'm sure there was some tears shed and things like that. I don't want what I'm about to say to sound insensitive, but this kind of goes over into farming, being raised on a farm. Like my grandparents were my babysitters. They had cattle and hogs growing up and chickens sometimes and dog, like dogs were a thing on a farm that were there for one reason, and that was like fun or maybe keeping certain cats away or whatever. I don't like it was if it is if it started to affect the bottom line, then that dog was gone. Right. Yeah. The perfect example, I think I shared this with you. One day my some mail flew out of the mail truck. The mailman got out into the ditch to go pick it up, put it back in the mailbox. The farm dog came and bit him. And my grandpa took him behind the row of trees, the windbreak, yep. Dug a hole, shot him, put him down right in it, just like yep. that. Right. Yep. And so this is kind of a good transition for a little bit into like the money thing. Dude, mm-hmm. if my dog ate a entire bottle of pills a while ago, mm-hmm. and we went in, and luckily all we had to do was get a stomach pumped, but that was still like $700, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to spend that much money on a dog. I'm sorry. That may sound insensitive, but I'm not going to do it. I don't give a shit.
And so here's my thing with it. Like I treaded lightly with this because it's like, it wasn't a money thing. We were already to do x-rays on this dog, yep. an emergency visit, and then to put him down was still $700.
Yep.
You know, so I'm already money into it. You know, mm-hmm. plus this is a very expensive dog that we've fully invested for a year,
yeah.
you know, but he's just yep. a puppy, you know, and it's like, gosh dang, if I would have known like his recovery yep. is going to be successful and he's going to be able to make it another 6-7 yeah. years, it would have been a different story. But so that's how our weekend started. And then obviously Father's Day yesterday, but yesterday was also our 1-year anniversary. So
nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. So we got
bittersweet type of deal.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was like, that was our first pet that we got together. My wife yeah. had always wanted a St. Bernard. So, but we made the most of it and we had a good night and that's yeah. how it goes. So
yeah, I'll tell you, it was honestly, dude, I'm going to tell you, I had better Father's Days.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit here and whine about it, but the family just fucking argued. And I'm sorry for my language, but I was hoping to have a low-key, stress-free, no argument day where, like, you know how dads are, we're pretty much amenable to anything. What did I really want to do all day? I wanted to go to church in the morning and I wanted to sit around the house and maybe do some cool things with the family or, you know, just chill.
Yeah.
And we went out to lunch and then we went to the batting cages and it rained all day yesterday. So like all of the baseball games got canceled yesterday. But we sat around the house for the second, you know, like, man, we were literally running around from church to lunch to batting cage, then back home. And I think we got back home at about like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. And so there wasn't much sitting around that happened, during the day, but the kids just argued with each other. They argued with my wife and I'm just like, dude, like,
yeah,
I just want one thing, dude. I just wanted one day of no arguing or like just, and this is what I've been telling the family. I'm just like, take the high road. Just like somebody, please take the high road. Who wants to do it? And it just pissed me off. And I kind of, you know, sometimes where you try real hard not to fall into the trap of like, of being a negative person. And then you eventually do. Mm-hmm. I had one of those days, man.
Yeah, I could relate to that. Yeah. Very. I mean, it, obviously, you know, the more kids you have, the more fun that is, right?
Yeah, right.
But the balance of it is crazy sometimes, yeah. you know, because I mean, yeah. not only do like my two get after each other, but then yeah. her three, they'll get after each other. And then there's the intermix where yeah. they'll all kind of get at each other. But I've just literally told them like, same thing you're saying, you know, like, guys, can one of you be a grown up here and just walk mm-hmm. away from the situation?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that difficult. If you're not getting along, if somebody's not winning, because that's a whole other thing.
Like, oh, yeah.
Dude, all these kids, they're so competitive and it's like they all want to win. And my son especially, like, the day is over if he's not winning.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy Father's Day.
Yes. You know, like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. It's just, it's another, it was funny. There's this comedian I follow and he's like, Did you know that I think of all the holidays, and I'm not sure how they do it. I think it goes Christmas, then Mother's Day. And so the guy was joking around. He's like, it's Jesus, then yo mama. Okay.
Yep.
But then all of the other holidays, I think he said like Father's Day ranks 19th all the other holidays. So he's like,
sure.
Trees, Halloween, ghosts and goblins, and like all of that stuff ranks above your dad, like all of that shit. So I don't know. But it is what it is. And we made it through, and it's, hopefully this rain kind of holds up for a while. Like, we got enough rain now. I'm just like, you can stop raining anytime, right? Anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We've done caught up. I mean, weeds are, you know, waist and chest high. It's crazy. But hey, you know what? It's probably a good thing, because there's probably a dry spell coming at some point.
You know, we'll be bitching that there's not enough water here pretty soon.
I mean, it's funny, because like last year, you know, it was like 95 degrees and 40 mile an hour winds on the 21st. I mean, we know that because we got married outside last year. And this year it was like 64 and raining. Yeah. You know, so I mean, each year is different, each day, you know, but
All right. Let's knock these commercials out real quick. And then I got a topic I want to talk about, a couple topics here.
Okay.
All right. So, if you are looking for a mock scrape kit, scent elimination products, real or synthetic deer urines, go check out codebluescents.com. It is mock scrape season coming up. It's buying season here pretty soon for the hunting space, and we all want to make sure all the products we need to use throughout the course of the year are ready and available from us. So go visit codebluescents.com, discount code HTH20 for 20% off. Also, keep an eye out for Reveal trail cameras. I believe in August, they're going to be releasing some new cameras that are extremely easy to use, like their current one, right? Their current camera that they have out is called the Ultra. They have some new cameras with some new power systems that are coming out that are going to change some things in the trail camera space. Excuse me. So go check out tacticam.com/cameras and take a look at all the current cameras that they offer. And then I would maybe go follow their social media for, I guess, like updates on when their new gear or when the new cameras are going to drop. Also, if you haven't updated to the new app, make sure you go do that. And yet that can be downloaded and updated anywhere that apps are downloaded and updated. So go check that out. All right. Iowa, and this is what I want to talk about, talking about trail cameras here. Iowa just banned not cell cameras, but all trail cameras on public land in Iowa. Okay. They're not the first state to do it. I believe some Western states have done it. Some, like Kansas has done it. Iowa is now doing it. And so, let's talk about it, because part of me, this is where I want to start. And this is where I want to get your thoughts on it. We've turned hunting into a competition. Mm-hmm. And when you turn something into a competition, in order to make it fair for all parties, you have to put more rules in place.
Right.
Okay. And so what do people do when it becomes complicated? They start to chop things off, right? Say, none of this. You can only do this. And I think that's kind of what, in my opinion, it's kind of what happened. And trail cameras of all cellular, like last year, cell cameras were banned on public land. This year, all trail cameras are banned on public land. Now, the crazy thing about Iowa is they have they're known for flipping again soon, potentially, like, or maybe coming out with a really gray rule that will make people confused. So according to, here's what I'm going to do. I took a screenshot of this, and I am going to, I'm going to read part of it. Okay, the Iowa Natural Resource Commission is moving forward with new rules to ban all trail cameras in state game management areas. The background information from the NRC says that proliferation of trail cameras has generated numerous concerns and complaints from the public. So there's people coming in and they're using cell cams on public, or they're using trail cameras on public. Some people don't like that. So what do those people do? They bitch and complain, right? And they voice their opinions. Good. Again, what they've done is they've done that so much now that the NRC and the DNR have got together and go, you know what? Done. It's all done. And so now, like, first off, what are your thoughts on something like that?
Well, I actually got a question for you before I answered that. So how many times have you used a camera, not just a cell camera, but a camera on public ground?
Here's the crazy part. I want to say this out loud here. I've never had a trail camera stolen on public. I don't think on public ground. All of the trail cameras that have been stolen from me have been, or tampered with, have been on public or like private.
Private.
Yeah. Okay. With that said, ask me that question one more time.
So how many times have you used cameras on any sort of public ground and not just in Iowa?
Yeah. Just a couple. Yeah. Just a couple. It's not a routine of mine to go out and put them up on public land.
I don't, and I haven't. I've been with guys that have and stuff, but my trail camera use is on private ground that I have had and obtaining permission for. So for me, ask the question to me again.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this ban on public land of all trail cameras, not just cell cameras?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because one thing about any sort of camera or cell cameras is it saves some time, right? Mm-hmm. It saves some scouting time. And like a cell camera, you know, one of the biggest things for me is it saves me trips back and forth. You know, I get instant updates. So I can see in a busy world and busy lives that we have to live, especially with all of us having to work and, you know, make money. And it's not like we could take days off just to go look at cameras on public ground. So I see that side of it. But the other side that I really see probably more than anything is if we're looking at a level playing field, I mean, one of the easiest things to do is just say what you don't want and just say what you do want, right? If a state agency or anything like that is going to enforce anything, stop making it gray. Just say it, you know? I mean, there's so many states that, oh, you have to have your tree stand in by this date and out by that date. Well, okay, so maybe that's great. Well, why don't you just remove it every day? You know, if you're going to...
Well, that's what's going to come. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, because, you know, you fight about that all the time too. You know, there's tree stands that are up years on
all end, year long,
all year long, multiple years in a row, you know? And so then guys get in fights about that. So like, why don't you just say, remove your tree stand at the end of the day, remove your ground blind at the end of the day. So, I mean, for me, the trail camera thing is kind of the same thing. You know, it's like, maybe if you use it, maybe it has to be some sort of regulation like that. Either you could take it in that day, but you have to take it out with you that day, or we just don't use them, period.
No, and that's exactly what just got passed is there's no usage of them, right? Which I like. And I don't necessarily know if I like or dislike the rule. I like that the rule is black and white.
Right now. Exactly.
Yep. No trail cameras of any kind on public land.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Period. Because I mean, because then it just becomes a fighting issue with, well, yours is a cell camera. This one isn't, or you can only use it through this month with this month and not over bait within 200, whatever, how many yards, you know, like there's so many things that are so gray. I mean, like you go into some of these out of state hunts that, you know, an outfitter's next to you or a neighboring property, they're baiting animals or they're feeding mineral or whatever to animals, but yet you can't hunt within that, but yet you don't know that it even exists because you haven't been allowed on that private ground. You know, like, so there's so many things that are just gray instead of just like this. It's like no cameras. Like maybe it should be the same thing as like when they talk about hunting public ground, you can't cut limbs off of trees. Like no saws, no chainsaws, no trimming, no pruning, no whatever.
Yeah.
Just make it that simple. It's I don't know why they complicate it other than to just, you know, get the honest guy who's like, because face it, even though they outlaw these cameras, there's going to be somebody that still uses a camera.
Yeah. Yep. And what's going to happen is that's going to, so there's going to be people out there trail cameras out, cell cams out. Someone's going to run into it, and guess what they're going to do? They're either going to tattle or take it, or do something where they're going to take it off the tree and face it down. People are going to be, that's what public land is, really. Everybody gets their own judge and jury, right? Mm-hmm. Like I walk in and, you know, I'm not saying me, but, you know, I see, go and see something. I'm like, okay, dude, I walked on public land. And if I see a tree stand, I know guys who they see a tree stand, they will mark it on a map and they'll go tell the DNR about it. And they'll be like, hey, this tree stand needs to be removed. It's been there, you know, in the middle of the summer or whatever. I know guys who will do the same thing about trail cameras. I've walked by trail cameras on public land. I've walked by tree stands on public land. One thing, the only time I've ever tattled on public land is when someone literally, like there's this river that cuts right through this public land in near my home. So I was out scouting one day and you could see where they pull the boat up, like right on the bank. They hop up on their trail camera or on their tree stand and they walk right up. There's a trail camera right there by it. And guess what? It is on a homemade food plot. Someone came in and had the audacity to plant a food plot on public land.
Yep.
And I mean, this looked like a really good food plot. And it's not, dude, it is not a state food plot because it's about the size of my living room.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a kill plot that someone has planted there. They got away with it probably their entire life until now. Right? Yep. And I was just like, that's unfair. And I went and I tattled, dude. And so, you know, call me a hater if you want, but I did it. This was like 7 years ago. So
I just think it's like I said, you know, like there was a time when I would use a climber, you know, and you had to have a smooth telephone pole tree basically to climb up high enough to be comfortable to sit and hunt. And you can't cut branches off of most trees in every state, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know if there's an exception to the rule on public ground in any state, but I mean, it's detrimental to the tree. It's just like anything that pierces the bark and stuff. You're not supposed to use it, you know, but how do we follow all those rules? You know, I mean, there's always a rule breaker no matter what. But I, like you said, I like this because it says no cameras.
Right.
It's just that simple.
So here's another line from this this press release, I guess, that came out in the just so everybody knows, this is coming from Radio Iowa. It's like a news source here in Iowa. Okay. Where was this at? The background information says the trail cam ban will protect the recreational experience of sportsmen and women, and other visitors to these wild areas. And it ensures that hunters don't gain an improper or unfair technological advantage over game animals. There it is.
Okay,
it's banned because they feel that trail cameras give an unfair advantage to hunters.
Okay, so I got a couple ways I could go with that. So
yeah, man, you could play devil's advocate right here.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to say, do you think the camera is actually, is that really aiding in deer hunting? I mean, like we could expand on that. Like, yes, it helps tell you, it gives you inventory, it gives you a timestamp and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, does that make you a better hunter? And does that make the shot for you? Does a picture make the shot for you?
The picture doesn't make the shot. You still have to put yourself within shooting range of that animal.
Right.
Right. Dude, like, all right, guys, you know me and I love eating wild game. But I don't eat wild game every single night. Every once in a while, I'll reach for a side of beef. And that's why I trust Omaha Steaks. Because Omaha Steaks are sent directly to my door, I can keep my freezer stocked without having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at your house. Last week, I pulled out their pure ground ribeye burgers for a quick grill session. The flavor and marbling was unreal, rich, juicy, and miles ahead of any average grocery store meat. Try the burger perfection flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com. Trail cameras help you, period.
Yeah.
Like cellular trail cameras give you real-time data about where deer are moving, period. If someone says to me, no, it doesn't, like it just shows you pictures of deer. Okay, dude. But if that same, like I have, you know, what's my strategy? What is my strategy? I hunt doe groups, right? So when I throw a trail camera, whether it's a cell cam or a SD card camera on a trail, and I have doe groups coming by every single day, what am I doing? I'm going to go hunt that doe group that is consistent at about late October, early November. And guess what? This isn't rocket science, dude. This is easy stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be a buck come through that same area at some point. Right.
So does the camera make you a better hunter? And is that an advantage for you over the animal? Or is this just a hunter versus another hunter advantage? Like Joe Blow can have a camera out there, but other Joe Blow can't have a camera because he can't afford one or doesn't have the time to put one out there. So, you know,
I would 100% say that a trail camera, let's say it's a cell cam. Me and you, we go hunt the same piece of public and we're after the same deer herd. I go out and I'm able to move even just one trail camera. Every couple of weeks, I move it around to maybe a deer trail. And I mean, you obviously still have to have the most basic, minimal understanding of woodsmanship. Like, this is a deer track.
Yeah.
This is a deer. This is what a deer track looks like. Okay. If you know that, then you know where deer walk. You can put a trail camera there and let's just say the competition part of this holds true, right? And there's one big buck out there and I'm getting constant information and you're having to guess where this buck is at. And you can use all your woodsmanship that you want and you can put yourself in the right spots, but I'm going to be able to know at least a small portion of this little wedge that a trail camera provides of if that deer is there or not. If he's not there, and that is our goal, is to shoot a buck, well, then next time I go in the woods, I can move it to someplace else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and I think that's what it comes down to is like, so we could have both have the same level of woodsmanship, same amount of years hunting and technology outside of the camera. If one of us is allowed the camera and one of us isn't, the camera definitely aids in the fact of letting you know what's there and when.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm just throwing darts at the dartboard, right? I'm going off fresh sign and everything, which is great, but it could be chasing your tail too. So,
I'm going to say real quick, I'm going to say something kind of weird here. You know, when we look like the hunting community does a real good job of looking at a certain person and going, that guy's a good hunter. That guy's a really good hunter. They're all using cellular trail cameras on private ground. You know what I mean? Let's not get it twisted. And I'm not saying all of them, but the people that we hold up top, up real high, right? I don't know. I'm just really, I definitely, this is it. I'm sorry for stumbling all over here. But yes, I 100% feel that cellular trail cameras or trail cameras in general aid in killing deer.
I think so too. And we had talked about this several episodes ago when I started talking about doing my within state hunt on public ground this year, because I'm not going out of state or anything. And you'd ask me, like, am I going to have time to scout it? Am I going to have time to whatever? Honestly, probably not. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to plan my week. I'm going to go down and hunt. I'm not even going to take a camera with me because it is what it is when I'm there. Right. Yeah. I mean, yes, I could adjust from day to day while I'm there if the camera's in a different spot than I am. But I mean, I just look at it like this is kind of a good thing. And I think maybe people could realize this for a second instead of getting in an uproar about not being able to use the camera on public ground. Maybe they should look at let's look at the experience that we could get out of this. Let's.
Yeah.
Everything's level here. You know, it's not the local people in X town, you know, who live close to this public ground. They have X amount of cameras out on this public ground. And then there's a non-resident or there's a resident from further away that comes in to hunt this. They don't have cameras on it. They have no intel. And then it's just like, it is an unfair playing field, but it's also maybe the experience is going to be better just putting the cameras away for a minute.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is, right? I got pissed at the shotgun group, this past year, but the year before. Do you remember when they took all my trail cameras down and pointed them? I know exactly who did it, right? They straight up lied to the landowner and said that the reason is that one guy was going to the bathroom and he felt like he got caught on camera. No, what happened was they saw trail cameras on the property and they got pissed at it and they felt like, hey, I'm going to take this down. I get it. That's private property. Mm-hmm. That's private property. Now, imagine me and you going on or even out west. All right. We're going to go sit over a water hole because it's the only water in the area and these animals are going to come to it. And there's 15 trail cameras over it. That's what was happening out west in certain states. So guess what? Everybody's bitching about it. No trail cameras anymore. Done. Like these outfitters had trail cameras over every single watering hole. And I will say this, that there's a little bit of a, like, I'm in a gray area right now with cellular trail cameras.
Right.
If you use them as security cameras, dude, you're starting to balance on that non-fair chase thing.
Kind of, right?
Like, but if you're using them as a tool to kind of see what's on the property, try to follow a doe group like I do. Like I was talking to some of these, a guy a couple of years ago, and I think on 100 acres, he had 35 trail cameras on 100 acres.
That's crazy.
Because he was after one giant buck.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That is absolutely crazy. You just knew where this deer was at. And then the only thing you had to do is pop in. And I mean, that would be no different to me than flying a thermal drone that was just in the air all day documenting where this buck was at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might as well put a collar on him and just be like, okay, well, he's here. I'm going to wait for the right wind and hop in this tree stand. Like, there's nothing fun about that to me.
Like, no, I think that's the point of like this whole ban with these cameras is, you know, maybe this gives everybody an opportunity to just go rewind a little bit. I mean, because if we went back to when we started, there wasn't cameras, period.
Right.
You know,
right.
And now fast forward to where we're at a camera that can give it to your phone instantly. And I don't know. I think I'm actually a fan of this ban of cameras on public ground just for that fact. You know, just because public ground, everybody has permission for it, right? Yeah. Now, if you want to be this guy that has 100 acres and you have 35 cameras out there, guess who's paying for that? He is. That's his bill. And if that's what he looks at as a fair chase, if that's what he looks at as rewarding, so be it. Right. I mean, I run cell cameras. You know, I have one on a 50 acre piece, one on an 11 acre piece, and one here at home. I got 3 cell cameras right now out running. I'm catching more raccoons than I am anything, you know? So, I mean, for me right now, it's not even about that. It's just actually, I like watching what does had a fawn, you know, right. or, you know, that that we talked about last week, you know, that antler growth and everything. It's kind of cool to watch that. And my kids get a kick out of it. You know, something cool walks by, a bobcat or anything like that. It's cool to show them those pictures and then talk about, like, well, why are they out? You know, we've been having a coyote problem here at home, and they'll walk by at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And kids are like, why is he out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? And we've been seeing him in the field and stuff. And I'm like, could be a lot of things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like I just typed in right now what states currently have trail camera bans, and states with full bans, meaning all trail cameras, across the entire state. And it sounds like on public and private, this one says Arizona prohibits the use of any trail cameras year round for the purpose of scouting, taking, or aiding in the take of wildlife on public lands. So that's no trail cameras at all on public lands. Okay. But doesn't say anything about private. Okay. Nevada bans placement and use of all trail cameras on public lands around sensitive water sources and during peak hunting seasons. That's a gray as shit area. Mm-hmm. Like what is a sensitive water source?
I think,
is that for me to decide or for you to decide or for the state?
Yeah. See, and that's just it. It's like, okay, here's a question. And this is just like, I don't know what the real answer it is. Mm-hmm. I have a acre and a quarter, acre and a half pond here at home, and it is stocked, right? And then COVID happened and I put catfish in it and I had to go through the county and everything. And it's a whole process, right? Mm-hmm. Whose fish are in that pond?
Yeah.
Are those my fish or are those the state's fish? Because mm-hmm. technically by Illinois law, those are the state's fish. Even though I bought them, put them in, even though I maintain the pond, mm-hmm. they're the state's fish. You make that make sense to me. Like I pay taxes on it. This is my ground and yet they're their fish.
Yep.
That's nuts. So yeah, that's it's crazy. Like I still have to have a fishing license to fish my pond.
Yeah.
Like my boat has to have a registration to be in my pond. Like, really?
Yeah. Like, it's weird, dude. It's just so much gray area. And it gets so complex so fast. And then obviously human nature is to find and expose the little gray area that benefits you and then bitch and complain about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So let's go this way with it. So you just said that there's a couple states or whatever, or at least Arizona, that has a complete ban on cameras. Mm-hmm. If Iowa passed a law today that said no use of cameras on private ground, how does that affect you moving forward hunting?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I had to do last year, right? Was I had to turn my cellular trail cameras, because here's what the law said, cannot aid in the take of animals. That's what it said. Cellular devices cannot aid in the take of animals. And again, extremely gray. What's that mean? How do I know if it's aided me or not? Is it because I got I put a trail camera out in September before the season starts and a big buck walked down a trail. So then I went and hung a trail camera or a tree stand over that trail. Maybe I even took the trail camera out. It aided in it. That buck walked right there. So what does that mean? How long does that take? Is that 24 hours, 48, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year? There's like, they need to start being ultra specific in this, right? Cannot aid in the take, or if a picture is sent to your phone and it is used, because they're not writing the law for the specific device. They're just saying all trail cameras.
Right.
But here's how people use it. You got to write the law for how people use it. It gets sent to their personal device or their computer, and they pull it up and they look, and then they make a decision of if they should go hunting or not. That's how people are using cellular technology.
Sure.
All right. Or even if you're sitting in the truck at your, by the barn on this farm where deer live, and you're sitting there and you're literally just watching your phone until something pops up, boom, I got him. I'm going to this tree stand to cut him off. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how people are using it. I've seen it on social media. help people do that. Okay. Like you got to be specific. You can't say, you got to say all cellular devices, if used, need to be disconnected or shut off in a no kill mode or a no send mode during legal hunting hours. Mm-hmm. That way you're not getting any information during from sunup to sunrise. And then afterwards, right, you can do that. Now, how's that affect mornings, right? You know what I mean? Like I could sit here and just argue the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, well, 100%. I'm just sitting here thinking in my mind, like, okay, so I hunt on days that I have the opportunity to hunt. Okay. Yep. So it is whether deer are there, that's irrelevant. But one thing I will say I've done is maybe the night before a morning hunt, I'll look at my app and I'll scroll through it. Like which camera has had the most activity? And that's what I use, you know, so is that aiding? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I didn't have that app, if I didn't have those cameras, I wouldn't know anything. It'd just be like, well, I'm going to my big farm today, or I'm going over here today. And it'd be what it is anyways. So, yeah.
And this is where, finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I'd ask you if there was a ban on private ground, you know, like for me, if there was a ban of cameras on private ground, I'll be 100% honest with you right now. At this stage of my game, the one thing that it affects the most is my kids hunting, not me, because I'm just going to go when I can go. And I'm going to use the years of experience on the ground that I have. Now, this public land hunt I'm going to do this year, I'm going to use my woodsmanship and I'm going to go just have fun. Yeah. And the hunt's going to be what it is. It's just the same as going out of state. You know, I mean, you get on deer, you don't get on deer, you see deer, you don't see deer, and the hunt's what it is.
Yep. 100%. Kids. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I used a lot of cell cam information leading up to, I would say, like 3 or 4 days before the youth season to locate where these doe groups were moving, and even a couple small bucks. And that's where we hunted.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you. So we did that, but this is where I have a problem. I am a huge fan of like private land rights. Like, and I don't even own, like if you own land, you should be able to do whatever you want on that ground. And what I mean by that is, and I'm not talking about baiting. I'm talking about like breaking. I don't even know how to say it, because I don't even know if my decision is made yet on what I think about things like that. Like, there's guys out there. I feel like a guy that's like, why can't I bait deer? It's my own property. Oh, it's the state's deer, right? Then you would be hoarding all of the natural resource for your property if you're the only one doing it, right? I don't want that. I don't want the neighbor to bait, and so all the deer are on my, you know, on his farm and not mine and all that jazz. I don't know, man. I just feel like at what point you got the government stepping in and telling you what you can and cannot do on your own land. Okay. I want to run trail cameras on my property. Nope. Can't do it. That's illegal take. It's unethical.
Right.
Okay. Who's going to come enforce that?
Well, and this
who's going to come enforce all those trail cameras on public ground? Who's going to do it? Right. All the huge budgets that the DNR officers have to work with every year. Fuck no, dude.
Right.
Nobody's going to enforce it.
No,
nobody is.
But that's the thing. Like, and I'll take this a step further. You know, we just put this addition on the house and we paid for that, right? Yeah. We didn't take out a loan. We paid for it. But yet putting the addition on the home, what's that do? It increases my home value. So what's it also increase? My taxes, right? Yep. The government is telling me that because we paid for this out of our pocket, that we are going to pay more for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is that? You know, and same with my pond. Like, I bought fish to put in that pond. They're going to tell me that they're fish.
Yep.
Who's taking care of it? Who's mowing the banks? Who's helping with creating different diversions so there's not erosion, or planting vegetation, or, you know, spraying for the blue algae and stuff? I mean, who's doing that? They're not. You know, so I can argue this back and forth because I see what you're saying. Like, you know, if I had a neighbor that's baiting, and all the deer are over there, well, obviously that's not cool. I mean, that's, I don't want that either, but yet, yeah. And I think that's what sums this up really in a nutshell with this ban is it's black and white. It's all cameras. It's on public ground, no cameras.
Yeah. And I'm guessing a lot of that has to do with they are having these talk in circle conversations like we just did, mm-hmm. because what did we really solve in this conversation? Nothing.
Nothing.
To be honest with you.
But, so let's go back to it though. So if they banned it on private ground, how does that change hunting for you?
Well, here's what I'll say. Trail cameras, when I started using them back in the day when they were the size of a DVD player, right? Huge, big batteries, heavy. It allowed me to see what deer were there, okay? Whether that was over a mineral site in the summer, whether it was on a trail during the season, guess what I did? I started to see bigger bucks. Yep. Then, because of that, I knew that I started passing smaller bucks, right? I started passing 130 class deer. So I could shoot the 140s and the 150s. That's all trail cameras do for, or that's what trail cameras have done for me. Now I've started to use them in a way where it's a tool, right? It's just like, mm-hmm. okay, I know this doe group's coming through here every single day. This fence crossing, this gap in the gate, this crit crossing, you know, this field edge over a scrape, boom, he's located. Like in 2020, I can't remember if it was 2020 or 2021, I had three trail cameras. Capture a buck on trail camera and I triangulated his position and I moved in on a ridge. Two of those. And then it was a fence crossing or a two track and a fence crossing. And I brought it back via terrain, my knowledge of terrain. I put a trail or a tree stand in there. That night I killed him because I used it to triangulate his position using two trail camera pictures and terrain. I did that in 2018 as well. So the 2018 buck wasn't a cell cam though. It was two things that I had to catch. 2020 or 21 was one cell cam and one regular SD card camera that I used. So I still had to go out and check them. But regardless, I found out this buck's movement based off of trail cameras, and then I went in and killed him.
Well, I think I can just kind of like sum my view of it up in this. It's, mm-hmm. you know, there are guys that are going to take a 1 week vacation, or there are guys that are only going to be able to hunt on the weekends. And there are guys that are just going to simply be satisfied and grateful for the fact that they can go out and hunt, and mm-hmm. they don't care. They don't use cameras. They don't care. They could care less about it. Right. And then there's the guys that use the cameras as a tool. Like it's mm-hmm. another tool in the bag. It's like, you know, I shoot a lot of archery, right? Well, if I don't join a league or don't shoot all summer long, part of my hunting game is lowered, right? Yep. So if I take the camera away, it's lowered. And mm-hmm. it's all about the experience you want. You know, do you like looking at the pictures? Do you use that as part of your arsenal? I mean, so for me, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth, but I think that the rule, the way it's said, is just stated in a perfect way. And I wish more rules were just that, black and white.
Yep. That's the same thing with Iowa. I like Nebraska's rule on baiting. Nebraska says no baiting or feeding or minerals within 200 yards. Like you can't hunt within 200 yards of that.
Yep.
Bingo.
Yep.
That's black and white, dude.
Yep.
That's black and white. I love it.
Yep.
Iowa just says no baiting or no minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How far away? Like I can't hunt over it. It's just like the entire farm. Am I not allowed to hunt on a farm that has cattle on it because cattle have mineral? You know what I mean? So like we're starting to ask questions again.
Yeah.
What is the intent of that? If you say the intent is like going back to what was this one? I'm looking here. There's a state where it allows trail cameras on trail cameras and. Man, I'm trying to find where was it at? Anyway, you could just straight up lie and say, I'm not a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I wasn't using this trail camera to hunt. I was using this to view wildlife.
So what about food plots? Like, yo, I mean, it isn't a food plot baiting in a way?
I mean, is it? Yeah.
Technically, if
you could have these debates on everything. Yes. Do climbing tree stands ruin trees? Do, you know, is archery equipment unethical? Is, you know, like certain calibers of weapon unethical, yeah. right? Yeah. Like, it's just like, oh my God. And so what we've decided to do as a culture is to sit and complain about all these things.
Well, we sit and complain, but a lot of it just stems from jealousy, you know, because one guy's got more money, he can have more gadgets and more land. So mm-hmm. we're going to become jealous of him, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like, hey, man, if this is what life gave you and you can go hunt public ground, just be grateful for that, you know, or go work a little bit harder. Like, I don't know how to tell you. It's
yeah. Yep. It's fun. It's a weird, weird thing to where it has gotten so complicated. When I started yeah. hunting, it was literally, dude, it was literally get in my truck, drive to the woods mm-hmm. and go grab four sticks and a lone wolf and just climb up a tree.
And we're talking
and sit there.
25 to 30 years where we used to just go around, knock on a door, get knock permission door. Yep. and go hunt. And yep. we didn't have the cameras. We didn't have the gadgetry, I mean, gosh, I remember like my first grunt call, it's actually sitting on my desk here. And it's like, dude, you know how many grunt calls I've bought since that one? You know, yeah. and it's just because, oh, this one sounds better. Like,
yeah.
it's changed. It's changed mm-hmm. a lot. And I think when you start to lose focus on what the end result or end goal really mm-hmm. should be or is or even was to start, man, you lose fun. And then that's where we kind of go backwards to where, I mean, we started talking about it a little bit last year, like just not being in it, right? Yeah. And yep. are you just not in it because it's like evolution, time, or is it because of all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Because it makes it, you don't even need to think about it because it all makes it easier.
No, when you're going to go hunt this fall.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do think that the conversation, I mean, this is a great conversation, but it's almost like, what does it get you? Just another conversation about the same damn thing every single time.
Yep.
And what usually happens is the state goes, okay, enough bitching, chop. And that's what you get. Yeah. And I really do feel that there does need to be some rules on public land.
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel that public land is public land and it needs to be fair and accessible for everybody.
Right.
Right. So like, I like public lands that have a no motorized vehicle ban on it or, you know, or a no only foot traffic. And I'm a guy who uses an e-bike when I go out west, you know, like I use an e-bike to take advantage of, you know, certain laws in certain states. Right. So I like that. I like being able to do that, but you have to own an e-bike in order to take advantage of some of those laws. The guy who doesn't have the e-bike has to walk in.
Right.
I get a foo in, right. You know how you make that fair? Boots only, my friend.
Yeah.
You change the law, boots only, right? And we sit here about everything. Private land's a little bit different of an animal, but on public, you just make it the most basic. Take away the trail cameras, if you want to say that. Take away the motorized vehicles. And you got to put in work. And that's what happens when people bitch and complain about it and how things are unfair. Then you just, all that gets taken away and it's just you and your weapon at that point.
Yeah. Right?
Your weapon in trying to locate the animal.
Yeah. And I think you can make these hunts more enjoyable if you just stop complaining about what rules are out in front of you and just go hunt and just be glad that we can still hunt. And just remember that, you know, if we keep fighting amongst each other, that's what they want.
Yeah. That's a fact. That is a fact, my friend. Really good conversation today. The other thing I wanted to talk about real quick. I was putting a lot of work into researching new bows to get, and like, I'm not even excited about going and getting a new bow. I think I'm gonna take my current bow and go turn it down to 65, and that's what I'm shooting this year.
So in other words, like you had to go to the bank, and the bank said that's a lot of money. And
dude, like with my knee surgery, and then I told you about my wife in the ER. for or intensive care for however many years however many days, dude, tons of money. And then I had to pay car insurance the other day. Every 6 months I pay $1,000 or whatever. And I'm just like, like, do I really want to spend $1,400 on a new bow, especially the one that I want?
And just tell me, plain and simple, where does any of this get any easier?
I don't know, dude. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what you mean by the question.
Well, I mean, just money wise, like, tell me where it gets any easier for anybody. Because everything is just continues. And like, you just rattled off a few bills that you have, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's every house in America is doing the same damn thing, you know? But yeah, we're worried about a cell camera ban.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
I don't know.
There's our fun time, and then there's the real world, right?
Yeah. Right?
And I think where that overlaps is where I want to go out. I finally got some time to get out and go do what I love, and that's hunting. And I walk into the woods, and all of this shit's already in there. There's tree stands everywhere. There's people everywhere. There's trail cameras everywhere. And it just pisses me off. And so what do? I'm going to go bitch to somebody about it, because that's what we do best as humans, is bitch. So
let's go back to what you said. So you're not getting a bow?
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless something changes in the next couple weeks, because I think I'm going to go get a new string put on this year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go check the string out, go get a new string put on it, get it set up, and then that's it, dude. Mm-hmm. So that's like, this is the longest I've ever shot a bow.
How long have you had this one?
I think I've had it for 7 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah?
Yep.
I've got one that's like that, but the other one I think is like 3 years old, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with all that, but this is I'm so busy right now in life.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't want necessarily to make hunting a priority right now. I feel like I have to be honest with you, because of the space that I'm in and what I do for a living. But I think honestly, that's why people just don't get into hunting until like 2 weeks before the hunting season actually starts, is because our lives are filled already. Mm-hmm. I have wrestling and baseball. Last week I was in Indiana all week long for wrestling. Then I had to come home one day to catch up on work. Then I went into coaching baseball again all day. Luckily it rained Father's Day, all whole bunch of shit to do on Father's Day. Now I'm back, right? Now I'm back into the work routine, and that goes, and tonight's wrestling, and I have to bid some jobs, and I have to do a whole bunch of shit that. And then when am I supposed to go and hang out trail cameras? I guess I just have to bite the bullet and do it. Last year, I didn't get my trail cameras out until like August, like 18th or something like that.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I mean, like we're at the tail end of baseball and softball here. Tournaments are this week and stuff. So that'll be an end. But at the end of this week, we have football equipment, you know, and it's like, we're already starting that. And then we look at it and there's like three mini camps before practices start. And it's like, so we're already into football. And then one's still in track. And then another one's going to be, I don't know.
Check this out, dude. Would you really want it any other way?
My wife said this exact same thing the other day. She's like, we're running five kids, five different places, trying to map that out. Who's doing what, where, when. And then she's like, but when that's over, then what?
Exactly. Exactly. You're going to be wishing you had a kid in football.
Yeah.
You're going to have so much time when the kids are out of the house that you're going to be like, it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight and you got hit real hard and you're just like, what happened?
Yeah.
Right. Like I've been in a couple and you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
It's going to be over.
Yeah.
And so I look at this, man, where I'm just trying to spend as much time with my kids as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And all that other shit can wait. If my trail cameras get delayed, if I'm hunting less days of the year because I decide to coach a baseball team or go to a wrestling practice or do that, my daughter's 13, dude.
Yeah.
13. There's 5 years of her left in my house and she's gone, dude.
We're in the same boat. Two of them are right there, you know, and it's like they're going to be driving in a couple years. Think about that for a second. And
yeah, you know what? You know why I'm thinking about
bing,
that?
Bing, 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 gone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why I'm thinking about that? Because my daughter, guess what? She's like, she's going to need a vehicle to get every place she needs to be. But guess what? Once I get that vehicle to her, then my wife wants a new vehicle.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. So that might as well spend some more money. Yeah. You know, like it's just like never ends, dude. What happened to the 50s? When the wife stayed at home, the guy went to work, got all that shit, and you could live off one income. That's gone, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I don't know. So you might actually want to map that out according to like when your daughter gets a vehicle and when you want that bow.
Yeah, that bow is at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, it really is.
Right. If I told my wife, like, hey, I don't think we're going to be able to do this little vacation that you had planned this year because I'm going to buy a bow, she would shoot me with a real gun.
You might as well stay where you're at right now. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
So, well, hey, dude, great conversation today. Yep. Thank you very much for your time, as always, Jason. Hey, guys, do me a huge favor. Go to Spotify, go to iTunes, wherever you download the How to Hunt Deer podcast. Give us a 5-star review. We recently had a social media clip go viral, and 130,000 people saw it. It's crazy.
Really?
Huh. Yep. And so if this is your first time listening, welcome. Go to the How to Hunt Deer Instagram page and make sure that you guys are subscribed to that. We have the YouTube channel. We have Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all those places you can find this as well. Good vibes, everybody. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you next week.